Hey, Bruiser Buddies, this is Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty.
Before we dive into the episode, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening on. Also, follow me on X at The Dave Dynasty and subscribe on YouTube by looking up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. You can also buy one of my shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheDaveDynasty. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser, set it off.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
The reason why Axe and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Yellow, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I'm your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining me for another episode. On this episode, my guest is Golden Boy Chick Donovan. We talk about Georgia, Memphis, WWE, WCW, and much more. So let's take a quick break. When I come back, I'll have that interview with Golden Boy Chick Donovan.
Filsinger Games is a tabletop cards and dice game company that has enjoyed success for over 3 decades. Their first game was Champions of the Galaxy and was released in 1986. Champions of the Galaxy is a tabletop game that features professional wrestling over 100 years in the future. Humans, aliens, and monsters battle in the Galactic Wrestling Federation for belts. Legends of Wrestling features officially licensed wrestling cards featuring stars like Ted DiBiase, Jimmy Snuka, Harley Race, and many, many more, including game sets for independent promotions. Each match takes place in real time. The action is fast and furious, and all the things that happen in pro wrestling, like cage matches, outside interference, three-man tag matches, they also happen in the games. You have the opportunity to run your own wrestling promotion involving either real-life stars or fictional characters of the future, or you can mix and match both. Visit FilsingerGames.com for more information and to order the games today. That is Filsinger Games, FilsingerGames.com to order now.
If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror Podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2, and Screams.
All right, and welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. This time I'm being joined by the Golden Boy, Chick Donovan. Sir, how are you?
Oh, great, man. It's great to be just above dirt and being seen and not viewed. I suppose it's a good thing, huh?
That's right.
Especially when you get my age, 79, it's always good to, better to be seen than to be viewed, yeah.
That's right. Well, yeah. You were, speaking of your old, you were born in Georgia, right?
Yeah, I was in Augusta, Georgia at the VA hospital, and my dad was in the service, and yeah, we made our little trip around England and whatever. As a child with my dad when he was in the service there.
Yeah. Did you grow up a wrestling fan?
Not really. I think in 1952, I'll tell you a little story.
Okay.
Might be interesting. In 1952, I saw wrestling for the first time, I think on our 21-inch TV when we first got TV in my granddad's house.
Uh-huh.
And Gorgeous George was on the TV and all his grandeur and all his stuff.
Yeah.
And so now... That is 1952. Now let's look at 19. Now we got to go to 1980. I'm in California at the Olympic Auditorium.
Yeah.
And another little story after this one. Go along with this
okay.
story anyway.
All right.
I used to wear all kind of different gimmicks. I don't know, all this kind of stuff to the ring. All kind of gimmicks trying to create the Golden Boy. So that's all kind of stuff. So I asked the referee. His name was Red Shoes Dugan. And what was so special about him, he refereed the original Gorgeous George. back in the 52, whatever year it was, he refereed that guy. Now he's refereeing my match. So now they had me going to the ring just like they had him going to the ring, you know, which was too much of my wrestling ability. So it died when the bell rang. I couldn't follow that entrance. But anyway, he told me, I asked him, what should I wear now? He said, always wear all your gimmicks. You never know who's watching. Always wear all your gimmicks. You don't know who's watching. So I'm at TBS, right, in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Got a match with Tommy Rich, right? We're going to have a deal. So I got all my gimmicks on, right? I'm still listening to that Richie's, the wise man, to wear all my gimmicks. So I'm in this match with Tommy. I got all my gimmicks and blah, 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 blah. Jerry Jarrett sees the match. He likes all the gimmicks. Tennessee was kind of a gimmick territory anyway. So anyway, he calls, help me get a job in Memphis. So
yeah.
But so anyway, that was kind of still about Red Shoes Dugan because give me some wisdom, some wise, and they got me a job in Memphis. Where I always wear my gimmick. I always ever since I wear all my gimmicks. So even every day I do, just because I have to. Sometimes I have people take pictures and all this stuff all the time. All this every day sometimes. I always stay in my gimmick because I am the golden boy. The golden boy is me. You got your gimmick if it's going to be real. Ric Flair, Flair is the nature boy, and the nature boy is Flair. He's one of the same. He is what he is. You can't have a stupid gimmick that you can't understand what it is. You gotta be your gimmick. You gotta live your gimmick if you want to be the real deal. You gotta live it. You gotta sell it all the time.
Yeah. What? So what led to you then deciding to become a pro wrestler?
Well, goodness, I always played sports and did this, that, and the other. But I was probably one of the last ones picked on the team because I was kind of small, skinny, but I started playing football in 1954 on the grammar school team. But anyway, I was kind of always last picked, and you know, kind of shunned or whatever. So I saw wrestling one time, and I said, I'm going to be a wrestler. It was in 1975, I think, 74. I saw it for the first time in Macon at the Coliseum when I was a firefighter. And I said, I told somebody, I'm going to be a wrestler. He said, no, you can't be no wrestler. 50-some years later, I'm going to the World Book as the oldest wrestler, still wrestling. So the point of that story is you can become and do anything you want to do if you want to do it bad enough. If you're willing to pay the price, all you got to do is ask somebody how to get there, and now they'll tell you how to get it if you want to put the work in. When I created a gym here in town, I didn't have any money particularly, but I had a work ethic. So you go to work, and you create it, and people help you. They bring me carpet from the carpet place. It's free of charge. Bring me all this stuff to help to get this place together. Because I worked hard in the community and did all this kind of stuff for the community, fundraisers and whatever the deal was. So pretty strong in this thing, but they helped me out a lot.
Yeah, so
getting that gym together.
Who did you train with?
Well, first, I saw an ad in the paper in Macon when I was a fireman, firefighter there, and Grady Odom was the name. It was the kid, the guy's name that had the little group that we started. The group he'd been with the NWA and whatever, so he was familiar with wrestling. So he started little training sessions. So I went and went and started training with him. And so Grady Odom is the guy who broke me in along with some other guys. I think, what's the name? It was from Graves, Georgia. He used to look big. When he got in the ring, he'd be picking bugs out of the sky. He was portraying DTs. Crazy Lou Graham.
Oh yeah, Lou Graham.
Yeah, he helped. He was there involved in some other guys and whatever in our training. We trained every night and whatever. By the time I was working four full-time jobs at the fire department, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, mental hospitals and ambulance services and this, that, and the all kinds of hospital stuff. So I was working all those hours. But anyway, I started training wrestling, so I cut out some of the hours. And then in 1980, I had decided that I wanted to go full-time and left the fire department in Macon and went on the road. I think my first territory was in Louisiana with Bill Watts was booking.
Yeah.
Bill Watts was running it. I think the football Grizzly. Player was booking. The big, tall, black guy.
Ernie Ladd?
Yeah, Ernie Ladd was doing the booking. Yeah. I think he was actually the booker. But, let me hold on a second. We'll cut this car off. I don't think it'll cut us off, but let me see. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, now, let me get back on my phone now. I thought the car would stay on, but it didn't. Are you still here?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. I got you on my phone.
Okay. Here. Okay. So we started
with them there in Louisiana, which was really up and down that coast. And it was good.
Well, they say that I've heard that Mr. Wrestling 2 is the one that gave you the Golden Boy nickname. Is that true?
Yes, sir. We were in Columbus, Georgia one night, and I always kind of like matching stuff up. I changed shoestrings with every different color of trunks I'd wear. If I had on red, when I wear red shoestrings or blue or whatever. But one night we were in the dressing room in Columbus, I had gold on my shoestrings and like with gold trunks on. And he looked at me and said, "You ought to be the Golden Boy." So I said, "Okay, that's good. Thank you." And then I commenced to learn how to be the Golden Boy. In the midst of that evening, I was working with Alfred Sika a lot. You know, they were doing baddest men on the world, on the land, man.
Yeah.
And I was working, learning how to be the Golden Boy, and I had a match with Alpha one night in somewhere in Tennessee, in the big building in Tennessee where everybody goes. And I did all my gimmick, was trying to learn how to do the gimmick, and I turned him babyface. He was the baddest heel on the land. I ended up being the heel, and he was the babyface. Because I got too much heat. When I took a big mirror and I take a little bump out of the ring and I'd go comb my hair and look how pretty I am. And, let's spread around. Yeah. He ain't bothering me, baby. Look how great I am, baby. Getting this taking another bump. But anyway, I turned him baby face anyway. I was the heel. Man, he was the bad mamma jamma, though. But those Samoans were good people. I really enjoyed it. That was Roman Reigns' dad.
Yeah.
I think one of them, and then Seeker was the other kid. He had I forget his kid's name that were wrestling. But, yeah, they were really good guys. We were real close.
Yeah.
We had different territories together.
Yeah. And if you look at through your results, I noticed in 1979, you wrestled Sterling Golden, the future Hulk Hogan. What did you think of him at that time?
That was his first day in Georgia, and I was still a fireman at the time. See, I still had the brown hair and the little – brown, whatever. And I was just getting started there in 79. Well, he hired me at that time. I'd been working independent stuff, and then he hired me in 79. Anyway, that was the first time I worked with Hogan. And in fact, I worked out with him in the gym, and I think I wrestled three or four different times, different places, different stuff. And I saw him on the 700 Club. And I didn't realize he was a Christian, but you know what? All the time I spent with him in the gym and working out and wrestling and in the dressing rooms, I never heard him say an ugly word. He never in my ever life of him knowing him never said an ugly word in public, in that dressing room. And that's quite a statement because me and Steamboat and Paul Orndorff, we try to be examples of language in the dressing room, you know, as much as we could be. But anyway, so those are two big Christian guys too that I enjoyed working with very much, especially Steamboat. Steamboat was a dream. He was incredible.
Yeah. And like you talked about, right? You worked around earlier in your career.
I'm sorry.
You talked about earlier in your career, you worked around a little bit, and then you wound up in Memphis. You told us how you got into Memphis. And then you had a really good run there. In 81, you joined Jimmy Hart's First Family.
Right. And blew me out and had to go through all that process.
Yeah. And so what did you think of working with Jimmy Hart?
Incredible guy. Jimmy Hart's a good man. And Jimmy Hart is he took more bumps, man. They treated him horrible in Memphis, you know, because they just treated the heels horrible in Memphis anyway because of Jerry Lawler and some strong baby faces. The heels didn't stand a chance too much about anything. We didn't get paid for TV. We had to drive from Nashville over to Memphis, 200 miles round trip. I mean, 400 miles round trip, and they get paid for that one. But anyway, the heels were
kind of treated badly up there. But it was a great place. It was a good place to learn and to grow. And working with Jimmy Hart was quite a thrill, I thought. But I went back there in 85, and I think Dangerously took out me and Jack Hart as a team tackle. And I wrestled The Rock put me over for that strap they had there.
Yeah.
The Rock's father, Rocky Johnson.
Yeah, Rocky Johnson, yeah.
I had pile drive him at the TV studio, and I don't know why, but they said, I want you to pile drive him. He was about 300 pounds at the time. That's the only time I ever pile drive anybody, last time, and only time, and the last time. That's just too scary, man. That's too dangerous. I know Michael Hayes broke 2-3 necks, dropping on their heads up. But yeah, I got him up, and we got it without any problems. So I just, like I said, I've never done it again. But Rocky, he was such a genteel man. He took me, brought me into Hawaii. I worked with his parents.
Uh-huh.
And then The Rock. Dwayne was at the matches there. I don't know Dwayne, but he knows me from working with his dad. In fact, he talked about me on the Oprah Winfrey Show one time. When his dad died, they said we're talking about his dad. He mentioned my name or something by working with him. So I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I wear up down to all my stuff. With a little steer gimmick on it.
Yeah.
But anyway, that Memphis was a good territory for me.
Yeah. And during that run in 81, a lot of people remember you from that. And they one of the things they remember is when you won the Southern title, when Jimmy Hart was a Southern champion, you won the title from him when Hart laid down and let you pin him because he was your manager.
Man, that was a rugged match. That took it all out. I know almost trained 2 weeks for that match. Just for that, man. Yeah, but that was tough. Oh, Lord,
I can imagine that you got some heat with the fans though for that that Jimmy laying down for you.
If I'd have been a little smarter between the ears, I could have gone a lot further there. I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't really smart as I should have been. I wasn't on point. I missed a point. When Vince gave me a $1 million call, I don't get too transparent, but I was into junk more and wasn't on point and missed the call.
Sure.
And, I didn't have a drug problem. Well, I had, a women problem, I guess. But it was just, I wasn't on point. Now I'm teaching the point. The Lord has me on point now, wrestling like I should have been back when I was in my 40s. And I'm in my almost 80 now. I'm still going. Kids can't keep up with me now.
Yeah.
But the Lord's letting me go out strong.
Yeah.
So because I'm on point now, I can teach the point. You know, teach all the kids. When I do talks, I talk about that point. Stay on point. Point your homework the next that night, or your schoolwork for the next day, or whatever is the point. One, short points into going to a long-term point. But stay guided in that direction. So, and stay out of that job, that street corner, man. The street corner will eat you or kill you.
Yeah.
It may be fun for men, but it's a agony for a lifetime.
Yeah. Do you feel that's something that's really missing in wrestling nowadays? Is that the role models? Because it's everything's so blurred nowadays, right? You don't have these defined baby faces and heels as much anymore. So there's, your kids are just getting caught up in the moves and whatnot. But do you feel the role model side of it is kind of missing now in pro wrestling?
Well, I think what's happened to pro wrestling, the point of pro wrestling is not taught anymore. The point is the fans.
Yes.
You cannot go in there and call a match for an hour for a 5-minute match and expect to satisfy the fans, because you may not be doing what they want to see.
That's right.
I go in and listen to the fans. They tell me what to do. I may give them a hint. And then do boom, boom, boom. And that man said, oh, I told you what he was going to do, baby. I told you exactly what he was going to do. Because I told him to begin with, and I did it. So, but I got his emotions. I got his emotions in my pocket. I got him in the ring with me. And then when the bad guy beats me up, I got him down crying with me.
Yeah.
You know, that big comeback, I got him on his feet excited, going, boom, 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 going to the house. kids nowadays don't know when it's time to go to the house. They'll have three matches back to back to back, and they realize it. Yeah. So they're starting over, starting over, starting over again, and yeah. nothing means anything. But you know, you got to know when you got to know when it's time to hold them, when it's time to fold them, brother. It's so important. That's all about yep. the timing and what wrestling is all about. It's about the people's emotions, having those emotions in your hand. When I play music, I sing, I bring the people's emotions in my pocket with me because I'm making part of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
They want to be in the ring with you, so you make them part of you. You got to realize that's who makes you. You don't make yourself, and fans put a tag on you who they make you. They call me yeah. the Golden Boy. I ain't really Golden Boy. They think I am, you know, whatever. I'm kind of fool, I guess. Not really, but because I am who I am. But use that for an example. It's just the fans make you. They make who you
yeah.
are.
Yeah. And do you
that's forgotten art. That is forgotten art now. Just listen to the dressing room. These kids want to go do all this crazy stuff, blah, 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 blah. I tell you, when you learn how to wrestle, you go out and you have a match. You ain't got to call yeah. one. When you learn how to wrestle.
Yeah. You encounter that when you work these young guys, that they come up and they want to walk through and tell you everything they're going to do and all these spots? And do you have to say, hey, now let's settle down?
Listen to me. I tell them to go out and follow. If you follow me, if you can't follow me, well, just go out and follow me wherever the heck of a match. I can make him look like $1 million if he follows me. Once you don't yeah. follow me, it's time to go to the house.
Yep.
Because he's got all his knowledge is gone. He has no money in his head and nothing else in his head but crazy. So my life's in his hands now, so we're going home. I don't care if it's 2 minutes, 3 minutes, we're going to the house. But I don't let him get to that point. I try to settle him down a little bit. I might even take him down and pinch his titty or something. I don't know. Just do something. Just
get their attention.
You know, because they get a little sick. But just settle him down a little bit. And then you just have a match with him, let mama follow you. You know, match and have a flair, he followed me and I followed him. So if somebody's got to follow, somebody's got to lead. You take two people, can't be leading. It don't work.
Yeah. And you don't have to
hold them when to follow them, you know?
Yeah. You don't have to call anybody out by name or anything, but have you encountered anybody that's just told you just flat out, nope, I'm not doing it that way. This is the way we do it now. And you've had any difficulty with anybody or
no.
You get paired up pretty well with someone else.
When I'm in the dressing room, I'm a teacher. I probably have a lot of lessons when I'm in that dressing room. That's because that's my job nowadays to lead by example. Yeah. Yeah, I was taught, you know, the guys behind me wasn't taught by the guys I was taught by. I was taught by the real deal. And so that's why I try to relate to the guys now, you know, wherever I go and try to make it a better dressing room. We have to try to have school, more school than just gibberish. Yeah. And when I started, we weren't even allowed to talk in the dressing room. We had to sit there and just listen. You listened until you were spoken to, then you could speak. You know, we had to earn that. We had to earn that from our work in the ring, and earn the right just to speak, to make a conversation and dress with one of the boys. You had to earn that right. Now it's just crazy.
Yeah,
discipline. It's all that discipline is gone. No discipline whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, without discipline, you without police, without discipline in the country, we're done.
Yeah.
Just pull each other off without this one.
Yeah. Well, and another angle. Oops, sorry. I was going to catch another angle that go back, talk about one thing from your career. In 83, you wrestled under a mask as Mr. NY, Mr. New York, against Roddy Piper, who ultimately ended up beating you and unmasking you. What did you think of that? Number one, working under a mask, and number two, working with Piper?
Well, Piper was a different character. That particular night in the dressing room, I got smartened up, totally smartened up. The cocaine in that dressing room. Jake the Snake Roberts walked in 10 years after when I first met him back in Louisiana. He was on top. I mean, incredible talent. But now at that particular moment, the cocaine had killed him off for the most part. Not literally, but killed his career.
Cocaine.
You know, so he smartened me up, so I never touched that cocaine. I never had that problem with that stuff. But them guys, they love that stuff, man. You know, Piper, I was talking to Bob Armstrong in the dressing room one night, and he said, Piper told him, you better get some of this right here to be with me where I'm at in the ring. And so Bob told me the reason Piper was so hyper is because he was always on the coke. when he did interviews with Gordon and all that, he was always high on the coke. When he'd get in the ring, it'd be, I didn't know where he got all that intensity from, but it was from cocaine. But boom, 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 so intense.
Yeah.
He was still together. He was still had it all together, but he was still under that influence. That told me right there, I never have been in the ring under influence anything. Because you got to get better and better every match. You got to evaluate it and get better and better for your next match. And if you went under a sedation or whatever, you wouldn't know if that was you or that working.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know the difference. Yeah. So you never learn anything. You never learn to get better. So you got to evaluate, especially when I was a paramedic. Everything we did, we evaluated. You have to get better and better at it.
Yeah.
You know. Absolutely. That's why I teach the kids to go have school. Going home ain't time just to smoke dope and drink beer or eat Burger King. It's time to have school.
Yeah.
You have school on how to open the match when it's time to, especially when it's time to go home, when it's time to go. Just have general school, I think. I like teaching. I love teaching. I'll teach as long as somebody wants to listen. I can keep talking.
Yeah. Well, that stretch with Piper, is that the only time you ever wrestled under a hood?
Yeah, it is in that type of arena. Yeah, the hood, and we wrestled around the hood. Came off. I said, man, he said it's okay. And I don't know what Mr. New York thing was for. I don't even know why, but I had to. I took the letters off my. But I ruined a set of good five pair of boots by taking my initials off of them anyway.
Yeah.
I got smartened up. I think the Lord has us in different places for different reasons, and that could have been my reason with Jake that night. Not so much the match, but it was to see Jake come in that dressing room, finish. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Just and man, then, it was sad. So sad to watch that happen.
Yeah. And
probably in the dressing room, and then boys. Uh-huh. When that, you know, doing all that stuff, I just sat and sat outside and just cried because the guys I loved, man. Guys I really loved. When you get close to the guys when you're on the road with them every day for a long time, years, you get to love those guys, man, because you respect them. You look up to them and they look up to you and you respect each other for your work. And you see them doing all that shit, man, it just hurts me so bad and just hurt me. I remember sitting there crying. Yeah. And then sipping on that shit, boys.
Well, and it's got to be rough, right? It's got to be rough being 79, 50 years in the business. If you were to stop and think of all the friends, and acquaintances, coworkers, guys you've been in the ring with that you've lost, they're no longer with us. It's,
I know.
It's what a list, right? I mean, it's unreal.
Flair told a story on Hogan. He said he was with Hogan the night before he died. The doctor wouldn't give him more pain pills because of his pain so bad. So he went to the street and got probably fentanyl, and it killed him right away.
Yeah, that's what Flair said.
Flair didn't say fentanyl, but I'm sure he got something from the street. It had to be fentanyl. That's so prevalent nowadays. But anyway, he took that, or whatever he took, he was dead, man. Died right there, 71.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, the number of guys that, I mean, over the years, it didn't even make it out of their 30s.
When I go in the ring, I take the kids around the ring with them, carry the belt. I got the Gordon Soley belt, you know, the old Georgia belt. But I let them carry the ring and try to make a special night for them. And that was the sad part, I think. Hogan had all those kids, man. He had the kids in a positive direction with Hulkamania. He had so much talent to end up like that. Even if he couldn't get in the ring anymore, he would still have the talent to lead and guide the kids, you know, and still have Hulkamania going around. He still have that. If he didn't get in the ring, you still got Hulkamania if you want to run it, or whatever you want to call that. But his maniac.
Yep.
Yeah. And so that was a big loss, I think, maybe to some kids' future. You never know. Just trying to keep him off the street corner. Keep him off that corner. Because him in that corner, you lay down with dogs, you're gonna get fleas out there in that corner. But a gun go off, somebody gets killed, your life just got changed. You never know. So we try to sense the point. You know, that's I yell the point about the point. I missed the point.
Yeah. Well, probably where you're most recognized from by most fans is from 87 through like 95 or so. You worked for WWE, WCW, both whatever. So many. Yeah. You appeared in so many TV matches. You were all over those TV programs. And I imagine that's where you most get recognized from, people seeing you from there. But did this time period, you know, getting away from the territory, moving with these guys, doing this kind of stuff, did that give you a little stability at that time, just working for those companies?
Well, I was really too much in the junk. In the you know, get too transparent here, but I was kind of too much in the junk and didn't stay on point enough as I should have. And it was my fault. You know, I missed some opportunities I should have taken advantage of. I could have gone further, could have done more. I think it especially, you know, because I had a good look. I just didn't have anything between the ears. I didn't have between the ears what I needed at that point. You know, I think maybe I didn't go any further because the Lord didn't let me go any further. If I couldn't handle where I was at right then, and like I should have in a professional way, I couldn't handle going any further in the business. So I think I was my worst enemy, you know, I think in those cases. So now I can teach that, you know, because I lived it. I know it's 5 minutes of pleasure and a lifetime of misery. You know, I know that and I've lived it.
I'm not proud of it by any means,
but I like you teaching the full lesson.
Yeah. I mean, do you look back, do you have regrets at all about, I mean, I'm sure there's things you're not proud of, but do you look back and have regrets about the way you conducted yourself, some of the things you did? Or do you look at it as, well, I went through this and I've come out better in the end, and I've learned from that experience and it's made me who I am now?
Well, you know, you watch your, well, if this is any correlation, but if you watch your own TV matches, you don't watch them for what you're doing. You watch them for what you shouldn't do. The first thing you do when you go on a new job, you want to know, what shouldn't I do? Not what should I do. I know what I should do. I'm trained, but I want to know what I shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
What I shouldn't do. I got in a little trouble in Japan because it's what I shouldn't do that I did. Not realizing it, I did.
Yeah.
That it hurt me in Japan. You know. So I've hurt myself in several different occasions. Like I said, I missed a call from Vince. To go to the field because I was somewhere else and trying to do whatever. I don't know whatever we're doing, but anyway, beside the point.
Yeah.
But another thing. Anyway. Oh, I'm sorry. I got the big one. You're welcome. Washington House sick. I got us some soup or whatever. I've been sitting in the car and talking. I was going to a point now. I think I forgot where. That was important too. I thought important.
You were talking about some of the opportunities you missed.
Yeah. Whatever you want to do, you can do if you want to do it bad enough. As an example, one Saturday, and I don't get too transparent, but I didn't have a car.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the use of a car. I live in Macon, Georgia. That week we're going on tour with the. We always went on tour so often up north for a week.
Yeah.
So I got my wrestling bag full of stuff. I got a suit bag full of stuff. And I got a suitcase full of stuff to go on tour for a week. Now, I don't have a car.
Mm-hmm.
So here I go. When I start out, I got this wrestling bag hanging off my shoulder. I got this arm. I got another arm full of this clothes. And I'm pulling a suitcase on the road. And it started out with wheels on it. Now, I'm walking. I'm getting up. I have to walk up Highway 75 to Atlanta because I ain't got no car. I'm walking to Atlanta. You can't tell me I can't get to Atlanta. I got two legs. You can't keep me from going to TV. I'm going to TV if I have to walk. Now I'm walking to Atlanta with all that baggage. Now my suitcase, no wheels on it. It's got to be holding. The stuff's falling out because I'm driving on the highway. It's got to be holding. There was a car, sir. But you can't tell me I can't get there, brother. You can't tell me I can't do something. I tell
all right.
When I have a knee surgery, then I'm going to have a knee replacement. The doctor said, well, it's the end of your career. And I just wanted to give him a third finger because, no, ain't nobody tell me it's the end of my career except for me. You know, I gave up a life for it. I gave up a two pensions, a city pension and a state and a job I loved. And a home I built, and I gave up that home and all that all the years. And I was a lieutenant, whatever, officer at the fire department. And I loved that work, and I gave it up to go on the ring full time.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously you love it because, I mean, you continue to wrestle after that run. And in 2006, you had what was billed to be your last match against Adrian Street, but you came back about a year or so later.
Just another match I've wrestled ever since, every weekend since then, you know. I've never stopped wrestling. I've been almost every weekend with different groups or where I'm at now.
Yeah.
I'm in New York next. I'm in 2 weeks. I'm in New York. So I got two shots on the 11th, one here and one in Thomason. So I'm staying busy. I don't need to stay, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, right? You're almost 79, right? I think you turn 79 next month. Is that right?
Yeah, in March the 7th.
In March, yeah, almost 79. How do you at 79 years old? How do you continue to do that? Working every weekend.
That was the history I was telling you.
Yeah.
Now, the Lord has me on point. My work is what I could have been doing 30 years ago, and I would be to another level. Now he's letting me do it now on my way out to be better on the way out than I was on the way in. Yeah. But he's letting me satisfy all everything I've had to sacrifice. He's letting me do it now. Now he's letting me do it, you know. So I go in that ring and the kids can't keep me. He's letting me work at a high level. I just go, whatever I got to do. You know, you never know. I never know. Just go out there and get in the zone and do it. But yeah, the Lord's got me on point now. So, you know, so he's let me fulfill what I should have fulfilled back years ago.
Yeah. That's okay. Do you find yourself because of that focus and that drive now and that path you're on now? Do you find that you enjoy the wrestling more now than you did when you were working the bigger territories and everything else? Do you enjoy the ring?
Every show I evaluate to get better and better and better. I'm still trying to get better. Now, I've gotten to a point now where every match has to be square within that match. It has to be even lines. If you want to run down the ropes on each side, the match has to be even on both sides. Mm-hmm. You can't get more heat than you got comeback. You can't get more comeback than you got heat. They got equal themselves from the beginning of the show to the end of the match. They got equal on each side. Because I, in the past, of trying to learn how to be a babyface, I got too aggressive, and I turned myself heel by beating the guy up too much. He didn't have enough heat on me I turned myself heel because I got too aggressive on him. So all those experiences now that's where I'm working on that, how to walk around the ring. That's my main goal, how I walk around the ring and keeping that match. I call it square edges all from the top to the bottom.
Yeah.
That's where the mind is between the ears now. That's where professionalism comes. That's professionalism of wrestling.
That's right.
That's professionalism there. That's when you can call yourself a pro wrestler. Because you wear boots. I was at a match one night. Me and my wife Pebbles has passed away. Man, we were there sitting on the stands, this young kid, and all dressed up. And we were a little bit early, but anyway, he was all dressed up and he's riffing, bomb, 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 and yelling at my wife, go get me a Coke. I said, yeah. Okay, now, I'll tell you what I did with that young man. I was in the last match, and I made sure I had a big, huge trash can just full of junk, full of coke and junk, and from all night long in the arena, close to the ring. So when he came out, boom, 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 I snatched him down. I put him upside down in that trash can. Boom, I said, now, here's your coke. Boom. Today, I sit here wrong occasionally about taking his dump on you by getting his coke, you know, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell that young man a lesson.
Yeah. Did I see? Do you have a grandson that wrestles?
No, so I got a son. I wish I had, but he's in the music business.
The quote unquote grandson. That's
great grandkids, and but now I don't have anybody in the family to wrestle.
Okay. Well, they call one kid online. Yeah. Well, they call one kid online your grandson because he has the Donovan name. So that's just the work on his part then.
I gave his real name, Nick. He was Rick Donovan.
Yeah.
I would say something on this podcast about Rick Donovan. Right now, I can't. I knew him as a young kid in LaGrange. I kind of mentored him. He had him wrestling, good looking, blonde headed kid. And I had him dressed like me, so we went his cousins or whatever, Rick and Chick Donovan. But yeah.
Everybody had a relative, right?
I liked him a lot. And made him part of me. Because that kid was celibate until he got married. Huh. And you believe that? He was celibate until he got married. That's the kind of kid he was. Mm-hmm. You can imagine the rest of his personality, if that was his personality, You don't see that often when he's 20 plus years old, but he ain't got married yet, so he's still celibate. But now he is. He's married, but back then he wasn't. And I always thought that was so good, I guess you say, was. I just thought that was really, really good. He had that much discipline, around all the stuff he's around, and he's waiting till he ties the knot. That's discipline.
Yeah.
I had just the opposite, no discipline whatsoever. But anyway.
Yeah.
84 some years. But now I'm able to go in the ring and really enjoy wrestling. And a lot of people calling me and coming to an end. I think probably be my last show in New York, I suppose, at 79. I guess I'll be going back again. I guess what all of that session. But I've been working this last month harder at the gym than I did when I started. Mm-hmm. Because this is a new beginning. This show in New York is a whole new beginning for an end. So I have to train harder now to be better now than I was then, to look better now than I did then, which is difficult in my age, but I'm still working hard at it. Until I don't look like it anymore, I'm going to still be in the ring, I guess. But, I train twice as hard now as I should, as I probably physically should, because I've got this is going out. It's time to go out. And I got to go out good.
Yeah. Well, and you talked, right, that you're still working virtually every weekend on this and everything. Do you have a way that people can follow you so that where they know of these appearances and everything else to keep track of you? Do you post those up anywhere on Facebook or anything?
No, I don't use Facebook at all. I kind of look at it occasionally, but I don't use any of this in the media for advertisements or anything. It's on there, it's on all over the place. But personally, I'm not an IT person.
Yeah. So when it's all said and done, Chick, and you finally do hang it up, whenever that is, what do you want? What do you want the world, the wrestling world, to remember Chick Donovan for?
Well, I can answer that. But I'm gonna go back to Simone. I remember a fan letter I got one time from a 14-year-old.
Okay.
He said he was fixing to end it all. He was fixing to give up school, life, everything. He's fixing to give it up. But through watching my matches, he decided he would never give up, because I never did either. I didn't always win, but I never gave up, except for one time, Flair. That was my finish. Anyway, we never said nothing in the ring, and all of a sudden, I don't know what it was. I don't even know what he was calling. We didn't call nothing in the ring, but he started crisscrossing. And I saw him coming at me, and his knee hit me in the head. I fell down and raised my leg up. Said, it's time to go, brother. I gave my leg to the floor right there.
Yeah.
It's time to go. Dusty was trying to, I walked down on Dusty. Dusty was trying to eat me alive on that commentating. He was commentating. He's trying to eat me up and spit me out, but actually put me over. But only I had a lot of heat with Dusty. I should have never got heat with him. I walked out on him one time. But anyway, he was trying to kill me off. That was the reason for the match. So it really got me over.
Yeah.
But Blair and I work so good together. I mean, he's the best. He knows when to fall and when to lead, I guess. I don't know. We just never said nothing before, after, or we never even spoke.
Yeah.
We went out. If I do it again, I'd put him in a figure four right in the beginning. I'd just boom, boom. I'd go ahead right in that figure four.
Don't waste your time. Huh?
sometimes, when you – I hadn't really, I was still matured in the business, but was still, you know, working with Flair is quite an honor, you know. Yeah. A lot of guys, sure. You know, work young guys work with older guys. They get all nervous and carried on. So, you know, I was a little restriction on what I wanted, but he just followed whatever I did. He just followed it.
Yeah.
Like he should have. And then when he took on, I followed him. So we had one heck of a good match, you know, so it was all good.
Yeah.
Anyway, that kind of shakes. You get a little intimidated sometimes with folks like that. And so you may not want to be quite as bold as you might have been after think about it.
Yeah.
He was quite a character to work with. Yeah, I really enjoyed
it.
I bet. Enjoyed, you know, on the road with him as well. But
sure.
Good man.
Yep. Well, Chick, it's been an honor to talk to you. And again, 70, almost 79, approaching 50 years in the business. It's unbelievable. You're not quite done yet.
People
can still check out Chick Donovan out there on the road. Watch for him. You never know when he might come to your town. And again, Chick, it has been an honor. And I so admire you for your motivation and your drive and your continued work ethic. That's admirable. That's something a lot of people lack.
Any of you promoters out there, get my phone number. Give me a call, brother.
There you go.
If it's not too far. I don't go too terribly far anymore, but, you know, I do go some distances. But, you know, just give me a call and we can work out something. I'd be glad to come to your town and talk to them, do a little talk, whatever I need to do, you know, a little fan fest or whatever. But I'm glad to be traveling because I'm going out soon and I want to be as good as I can be on the way out.
That's right. All right. Well, thank you, Chick, for your time and talking to me. It's been a pleasure. And, you know, maybe we'll do it again down the road and talk again.
Well, thank you for your call. I appreciate your time.
Available on all streaming platforms. It's professional wrestling's greatest, largest, privately owned wrestling library. All the classic hits, flips, slams, and pins of yesteryear are on one place. It's Ultimate Classic Wrestling. Check out the Nature Boy Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Mr. USA Tony Atlas, Tito Santana, Rick Martel, a who's who of professional wrestling's greatest spotlight stars ever to grace the squared circle all in one place. Grab the best seat in the house for memories and mayhem on Ultimate Classic Wrestling.
Hey guys, Ray Russell here. Lots of new stuff happening here at WrestleCopia. If you haven't checked out our website at WrestleCopia.com, it's a great way to keep up with the latest episodes of all of your favorite Copia programming, from the Wrestling Memory Grenade to Regional Wrestling with the Territory Talk, the Wrestling Stoop with the legendary Bob Roop, and of course, all of those programs also available at your favorite podcast streaming platforms. And if you want to stay up to date with everything going on in the Copia world, all the latest news, random thoughts, fun videos, pictures, and more, make sure to join the more than 33,000 followers over at facebook.com/wrestlinggrenade. Don't be left out. And last, but definitely not least, it's what keeps the entire machine going. I'm talking about patreon.com/wrestlecopia. We appreciate your support in helping us pay the bills to keep the WrestleCopia Podcast Network running and enabling us to continue to bring you all the quality programming that we offer.
All right, and thank you to Chick for coming on the show and doing that interview. Guys, make sure you follow me on social media. I'm on pretty much all the platforms. Just look up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty or at The Dave Dynasty, and you can find me. Also, be sure to subscribe to me on YouTube for lots of classic wrestling content, plus all of my various podcasts. Go check out the WrestleCopia Network of Podcasts. You can find the individual shows on your favorite podcast platforms, or you can visit WrestleCopia.com. Also, be sure to check out my friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. Visit ClassicWrestling.net to sign up for your account and then download the app on all of your smart devices. All right, guys, keep an eye on social media. I will soon be announcing next episode's guests. And until then, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.
Fans, we brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Manager thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.